Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Ian, Chris Sanders still thinks there is a chance at the Titans making the playoffs this year.
We love our Uncle Chris.
We do love crazy Uncle Chris. Do you have any faith the Titans can make the playoffs this year?
I do not, know.
I have no faith either. And so, I hate to say it, it is what it is. They're not going to make the playoffs. In fact, Brian Callahan yesterday confirmed they're not even really worried about making the playoffs. They're worried about seeing whether or not Will Levis is the guy. And I did not think that on October 1st, although technically it's October 2nd today, but on October 1st, we, for the most part, kind of have our answer. But that's okay. Again, I said on Monday, I was like, I don't know if I want the Titans to win or not. And part of that was because I don't trust the Titans to be able to adequately evaluate themselves with just the tiniest bit of success. Like, I don't know, did Amy walk in there with a game ball and give it to say, oh my God, we won a game? Or does she know her team stinks? Chris doesn't think the team stinks. I think the team stinks. Does Amy think that? That's what matters. Again, this is an owner who, you know, Mike Mularkey does a good job. He gets fired. Rand Carthon does a bad job. He, I think, got demoted, but they make it sound like he got promoted. Who knows? But it hit me today when I looked at Pro Football Focus's mock draft. I was looking up some Pro Football Focus numbers today, and they had the headline of, you know, our 2025 mock draft. And again, I hate that this is something that I was inclined to click on October 2nd, but you bet your sweet fanny that I clicked on it on October 2nd because I just wanted to see who they had the Titans picking. And what hit me was, because you won on Monday night, you're picking sixth. Sixth! According to the Pro Football Focus mock draft, Jacksonville picks first, which we know because they're the only 0-4 team. So they get Travis Hunter. Now, how would you like to have Travis Hunter on the Tennessee Titans? But Jacksonville gets Travis Hunter right now. New England gets Will Campbell, who is the top tackle apparently in the draft from LSU at number 3. I don't even know who Will Campbell is, but I do know this. We don't have a right tackle. Cleveland gets the second tackle at number 5. And then the team you beat on Monday, according to this Pro Football Focus mock draft, they get Jalen Milroe, the number 1 quarterback off the board, at number 2. Miami picking number 2, which puts the Titans on the clock at 6. Pro Football Focus, by the way, in case you're wondering, Jared, who'd they take? They took a wide receiver out of Arizona. Now, maybe this guy's a stud. I don't know. I have not thought about the draft. I'm not going to watch Arizona football, so I can't tell you if this guy's any good or not, but I'm sure he is. But again, 6. And that's not good enough. Moral of the story is this. Congratulations on beating Miami. But you just lost Jalen Milroe if you wanted him by doing it. Or you lost Travis Hunter by beating Miami on Monday night. And if you didn't lose Jalen Milroe or you didn't lose Travis Hunter, you lost what may be the opportunity of this draft, which is to trade down for a haul. Remember the 2015 trade with the Rams? Jared Goff and Carson Wentz were the two quarterbacks that were taken highly in that draft. Neither guy is going to the Hall of Fame. In fact, Jared Goff has since been traded, since been discarded. I used to have Buck Rising and Robbie Stanley laugh at me when I said Jared Goff was a good quarterback when the Lions were struggling. I was right, they were wrong, just like I was right about Sam Darnold. But again, you lose the opportunity to make that trade to get Jack Conklin, Derrick Henry, Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis, etc., because you beat Miami on Monday night. So I mean, again, I hate sitting there saying, hey, let's lose. But this team is so bad, both at the quarterback position and at the other positions, that they need a super, super, super high pick, because they either need all of the picks that you get from trading down so that they can fill the holes on the roster, or they need a super, super, superstar player so that they can mask the holes on the roster. And while you can get Derrick Henry in the second round, and you can get A.J. Brown in the second round, and you can get these players in the second round, I get it. I would argue that I feel a lot better about Travis Hunter being a superstar in the NFL than I would say that I feel about some guy you might take in the third round. My theory, once you get past the top 60, once you get past the top 60 in the draft, take as many shots as you can, because some of those guys are going to be good and some of those guys are going to be bad. I had Robbie Stanley. We got in an argument today, which I'll bring up later, but we got in an argument today and Robbie was crapping on Rick Spielman, the former general manager of the Vikings. And, you know, the guy that built this team that Sam Darnold just went to and now all of a sudden is best team in the league. And Robbie was like, oh yeah, the guy that drafted Kellen Mond. I'm like, in the third round? Like, who cares? The third round, you're not supposed to get stars in the third round. You're supposed to get your stars in the first and second round. And when you have a high first pick, you are more likely to get a star. So with each little win over Snoop Huntley, costs you the opportunity at Travis Hunter or Jalen Milroe or the corner out of Michigan that Trevor's in love with or Will Campbell or the tackle out of Texas or whomever, or the option to trade down and get the haul, or again, you put yourself in that position by winning, and I hate it. But because I know this team is terrible, I know that the hope that this organization has that they're going to figure out the quarterback position this year, that they're going to find out if Levis is the guy. I know the answer. I know it. It ain't going to be him. Derek and I were talking about that before the show today. Derek was like, look, I know what I'm looking for, and I know it's not him. So if I'm going to have to sit through Will Levis playing quarterback all year, I mean, I want the number one pick, or I want the number two pick. And so, yay, you beat Miami. And as Brian Callahan said, winning justifies our process. Well, now you're picking the receiver out of Arizona with the sixth pick. Which, hey, maybe he'll be good. J.C. Latham looks like he might be good. But it ain't Marvin Harrison Jr. It ain't Jaden Daniels. And that's kind of where I am right now, which is if you're going to make me sit through Will Levis football, then I want a high pick next year because this team's not going to the playoffs. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. A lot of people want to weigh in, so we will get to that at 615-737-1025. Plus, did you think the offensive line looked better on Monday night? Did you think they looked better? Certainly didn't give up as many sacks, right? Why, that might have been a mirage. And don't take it from me. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
How do you feel you did up front off on the offensive line? I guess, namely, maybe Nicholas Petitfier on the right side. Did you see some improvement there from him?
Yeah, there was improvement. I think we still got to get better all the way across the board. You know, that's an ongoing improvement project for us. Every game we go out there, we got to play better and better than the last one. And so I thought it was a better game from all those guys. And we also didn't put them in a lot of drop back situations either. And that was by design. You know, we were trying to make sure that we could protect. And that's how you protect those guys and protect the quarterback. If you're not drop back protecting very well, then you got to find other ways to do it. And so we did that, but they did their part too, and I thought they played pretty well up front. But yeah, we got to keep getting better every week. At no point will I ever tell you guys that we've arrived up
to actually arrive. But it did kind of feel a little bit better watching the offensive line not get the quarterback sacked every single play on Monday night. Did it not feel like that, Ian?
I mean, I don't remember anybody taking any major big hits in the pocket.
And then Tony Pollard ran for 88 yards.
Not bad.
You know, I mean, we got to give him credit there.
Spears got a touchdown, too.
Spears had a touchdown, which I cannot believe Miami, after the Titans showed their hand, screwed it up, and had to call timeout. Miami did not have somebody like a linebacker just hovering over Spears, knowing that he was going to be in the Wildcat taking the snap. But that's their business.
Their pass rusher got hurt in the game, and he's out for the season.
Jalen Phillips.
Yeah, he's out for the season.
Which is another thing to remember. Well, guess what? If you thought the Titans' offensive line played better on Monday night, according to Pro Football Focus, you're wrong. They didn't play better on Monday night. According to PFF, the Titans' offensive line currently ranks 31st in the NFL and did not see an improvement in their ranking from the game Monday night. The 31st offensive line, according to PFF, actually averaged negative 0.4 yards before contact running the ball on Sunday or Monday, which was dead last of any team in the NFL. So think about that for Tony Pollard. He ran for 88 yards, splitting carries with somebody else on a team that was fine with run, 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 punt, or run, 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 kick a field goal. And his offensive line was giving him negative 0.4 yards before contact. Remember how you guys said, Jared, you have to admit it, he's not the same Derrick Henry anymore, only to see Derrick Henry barrel down the sideline for an 88-yard touchdown Sunday when he's finally got an offensive line in front of him? Imagine what Tony Pollard could do if this team actually had a line. And the Titans, according to Pro Football Focus, allowed 11 pressures on 22 dropbacks, third worst last week in the NFL. So again, according to Pro Football Focus, the Titans had the worst rushing offensive line and the third worst passing offensive line, which probably only happened because you dropped back 22 times. So why did it look better? I have a couple of reasons. Number one, they were winning the game the whole time. And when you're winning the game the whole time, you don't get as mad about things. Oh, Latham missed a block. It's okay. Not, oh God, PT again. What are you doing? It's different when you're winning. And because when you're winning, number two, they don't have to get big chunk plays in the fourth quarter. There's not like a 3rd and 9 when you're winning where it's like, okay, bow up offensive line. Quarterback's going to have to stand in the pocket. You're going to have to let those receivers get 9 yards. You're going to have to give him some time. You don't have to do that when you're winning. Because when you're winning and the other team can't throw, it's very simple in the fourth quarter of a game to say, hey, it's 3rd and 9, turn around, hand it off to Spears, get 2 yards, put the punter out there, let's go. I mean, go back to that Bengals playoff game where the Titans knew in a tie game they didn't want Ryan Tannehill throwing the ball anymore. So did the Bengals. First down, Derrick gets nothing. Second down, Derrick gets nothing. Now it's 3rd and long. Tannehill has to throw, and he ends up throwing the death interception because you knew that if you punted to Cincinnati, Joe Burrow was going to get the ball. Joe Burrow wasn't playing for the Dolphins on Monday night. And number three, the reason why the offensive line looked better, even though they weren't, was because Mason Rudolph gets the ball out faster than Will Levis does. His time to pass was 2.42 seconds. Levis for the season is averaging 2.83, which means Levis holds on to the ball longer than Rudolph. And Levis holds on to it longer, where his pressure to sack percentage of the season is 30.6. Rudolph on Monday was 14.3. So pressure to sack, Mason Rudolph 14% of the time on Monday night, Will Levis for the season 30.6. Now again, some of that is because when you're winning, Mason Rudolph doesn't have to hold on to the ball. He can get rid of it. When you're losing and Green Bay's got a double-digit lead early in the second half, Well, on 3rd and 9, Levis has to hang back there in the pocket and try to make something happen. And the fourth reason Ian brought up, Jalen Phillips was constantly in and out of the game, and Jalen Phillips is out for the season. So the offensive line, again, my guy, Jim Wyatt, love him to death, but asking, you know, hey, do you think the offensive line got a little bit better? The answer is no, they didn't. They did not get better. See, the reality with the Titans offensive line is this. Titans offensive line needs a new right tackle because Nicholas Petit, it's Nicholas Petit Frere, but Jim Wyatt said Nicholas Petit Frere. And so that was in my head. The reality is the offensive line needs a new right tackle because Nicholas Petit Frere, a.k.a.
PT.
PT sucks. We all know that. Skoronski is a bust. I don't care what TV says. He is a bust. That being said, you should be able to get by with Skoronski because you can play with bad guards. You don't need to draft him 11, but you should be able to get by. You can figure that out, I guess, and be okay. Latham and Radens are okay. Latham has the potential to be very good.
He's looking solid.
He has the potential to be very good. Radens has the potential to be okay. And right
now, not be heinous, as Trevor would say.
Right now, Radens is okay. But according to Pro Football Focus, and I can't say I disagree with this, Lloyd Cushenberry's been terrible. In fact, Lloyd Cushenberry's overall grade, and this is Pro Football Focus, and I would not agree with this, but his overall grade of 54 is worse than PT's grade at 58.2. PFF says PT has been better than Cushenberry. And I don't agree with that, but Cushenberry's been a disappointment. Now, I figured when they signed him, it was going to be league average. You know, hey, I know you're going to pay top of the market for league average, but it's because it's, you know, if anybody's worth keeping, they sign him, except for Dallas, who, you know, has blown their entire team up because they're morons. But you got to pay the guy, like, he's going to have to suck it up. But I didn't think it'd be bad. And it's been bad. So again, if you want to get in your feels about, you know, hey, maybe the offensive line played a little bit better this game, according to Pro Football Focus, the answer to that is no, they did not. 615-737-1025. I promised phones. We'll get to them next. 615-737-1025, because a lot of you guys want to weigh in on this. So that's exactly what we will do. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063, The Game. And let me see if I have anything important that I need to tell the fine folks out there about. Tune into 94.9 The Fan this Saturday for Vandy football. The Commodores will take on Alabama with pregame coverage beginning at 1:30 and kickoff at 3:15. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at thegamenashville.com. And our college football game of the week is this Saturday at 11 a.m. Missouri takes on Texas A&M, presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports.
I have heard nothing but Will Levis is young. He did, you know, he'd get over these mistakes. Peyton Manning threw these many interceptions. John Elway was bad. This guy was bad. I get all of that. But there hasn't been a game but one where he has not made a bonehead mistake. And then yesterday, so what you're telling me, Will Levis, you're 6'5". You can see over the line pretty much. You're 6'5". And you throw a pass to, I think it was going to DeAndre Hopkins. And that defensive end or whoever that guy was never really moved.
Emmanuel Ogba.
Yeah, he was right in that same area that when before you snapped the ball and after you took the snap. He was basically in that same area. And then you mumble on the sideline, I did not see him. You know why you didn't see him? Because you have no pocket. You have no awareness. You have no field awareness. You don't have enough field awareness to be a starting quarterback each and every week. That's what you don't have. Now, if they want to bring you in to spell a guy for a bit here and there, that's great. I've never said Will Levis can't play in his league. Will Levis can play in his league, but he's not a starting quarterback.
That was Derek. I do love this. A lot of people, I think there's a big fear now of like, oh, if you give up on Will Levis, like, hey, look at these other quarterbacks around the league that have been given up on and look what they've turned into. And you're talking about Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield and who's the other one that won this week? Oh, Fields. He didn't win this week, but he's the one that's been playing. Fields. And it's like, I mean, look at Justin Fields. Do you want to be, you know, the team that gives up on that quarterback? Do you want to? Anybody got Pittsburgh, Minnesota, or Tampa winning the Super Bowl this year? Not me. But you know who I do have winning the Super Bowl this year or competing for it? Baltimore. Kansas City. Buffalo. You know the team's good quarterbacks. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. One text says you're wasting your time talking about the Titans falling to sixth as far as the latest 2025 NFL draft is concerned. This roster is too talented to lose enough for a top three pick, even with Will Levis and the terrible offensive line. First of all, I disagree. I completely disagree. Right now, the team picking number one overall is Jacksonville. And I am not a Trevor Lawrence fan. And I have never been a Trevor Lawrence fan. Now, I would have picked him number one overall. I wasn't like one of these bozos like Chris Sims that was saying, Zach Wilson is better than Trevor Lawrence. But I think the difference between Trevor Lawrence and his backup, Mac Jones, ain't very big. But again, you think you're more talented than Jacksonville?
I was going to say, I think I would pick Jacksonville to beat the Titans if they played this week.
Again, like I hear this all the time because the Titans went out and they spent money this offseason. They spent money. They didn't spend like a gargantuan amount of money. This isn't the 1997 Florida Marlins. Like they went out there and they spent money because their $27 million quarterback left and their $12 million running back left and their defensive lineman left. And they spent money because they didn't have any good players on the team. This is why when I hear you guys bitch about Isaiah Wilson, as far as why this team's not any good, I don't listen. Because Isaiah Wilson is already at that stage in his career where had he been good, he would have been paid a substantial amount of money, and so you wouldn't have him on a rookie contract anymore. He's already at stage two. The problem with your good young players are Burks and PT and Skoronski and Levis and those guys. That's your problem with your good young players, the guys that you don't have to pay yet. Your problem is not Isaiah Wilson. You went out and replaced that. Just think about 2020, because Isaiah Wilson didn't work, and he didn't get a second contract. And Christian Fulton didn't work, and he didn't get a second contract. And Darrington Evans didn't work, and he didn't get a second contract. But L'Jarius Sneed was in that draft, and you gave him a contract. Lloyd Cushenberry was in that draft. You gave him a contract. Tony Pollard was technically in the 19 draft, but because he got franchise tagged, you gave him a contract. So if all those guys had worked out, you would have had to give them contracts by now. You gave guys those contracts to replace those spots. But again, going back to the initial claim that this team can't finish with the worst record in the league or a top three pick because they're too talented because they spent some money this offseason, I just don't think it's true. I mean, they got no right tackle. Their left guard is a bust. Their quarterback is awful. You very, very easily could finish with a top draft pick. In fact, I would argue, let's just think about all these teams picking ahead of them. And you tell me whose roster is more talented, Jacksonville or the Titans? I don't even think it's close. Jacksonville. Lawrence, they've got talented receivers. Christian Kirk's a very good receiver in the NFL. He's not a great receiver, but he's a good receiver. They drafted Brian Thomas in the first round. They've got a high-end pass rusher and Josh Hines Allen. I mean, they've got better players than you do. Which is why when Doug Peterson's up there and he's asked about his job and he gets all crappy about it and is like, I mean, that's a weird question. Bozo, you're 0-4 and you missed the playoffs last year. You should be worried about your job. Number two right now is Miami. Who has a better roster, you or Miami? And I know you won the game on Monday, but you don't have Jaylen Waddle or Tyreek Hill. Number three is New England. Now, you might actually have more talent than New England. That I may give you because you actually spent money this offseason, and New England, who had money to spend, didn't. But I absolutely think you've got Cleveland right now is ahead of you. And their roster's got tackles and Nick Chubb's back on the team and receivers and DBs and Myles Garrett and Jeremiah Owosu-Koramoa. And they got players in Cleveland. So I absolutely think that if you keep playing Will Levis at quarterback, you've got the talent to pick in the top three. And I will make this claim that I'm not sure anybody else will have the cojones to say here in town. I think if Will Levis plays that game on Monday night, you lose. Like, if Will Levis doesn't get hurt and Mason Rudolph doesn't come in and play game manager football, I think you lose. If you let Levis go back out there, no matter how many times you tell him, do not go Leroy Jenkins with that football, he will do it. And I think you would have lost, which is why you lost to Malik. One texter says, Pro Football Focus is suspect. Maybe. But I don't disagree with their ranking of the Titans having the 31st offensive line in the NFL. And I don't disagree with them saying PT's been bad, Skoronski's been bad, and Cushenberry's been bad. They think Latham's been good, and they think Radins has been okay. Other than that, they think all these other guys have been pretty terrible. And I hate to break it to you, but they have. By the way, Jalen Duncan was inactive for the game on Monday. Brian Callahan said yesterday, well, he was hurt one of the days, but then he came back. And so, you know, he didn't get a lot of reps in practice. So he was, wasn't he battling for the job? Like, so he was supposedly battling for the job. And then he's inactive because, well, you know, Ojukwu got some more reps in practice. And this is the city of Steve McNair. This is the city of guy doesn't practice for 6 months and he plays every snap Sunday. Tell me that Duncan missed a couple of snaps on Friday in practice, so we're going to deactivate him. No, you deactivate him because he stinks. One texter says, short-sighted fans are like, please let's win six games with Mason Rudolph so we can pick ninth. I don't understand that thinking at all. It's so short-sighted. When the most important thing can be what happens over the next 4 to 8 years. So I would just argue this. Just because you pick high in a draft doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be good. You know, Jacksonville got to pick high in a couple of drafts. Right now, they still stink. Kansas City has the best quarterback in the league. They didn't pick high. Buffalo made the playoffs the year before they got their quarterback, and Baltimore took their quarterback 32nd. So it does matter what organization you bring these players into, and it does matter who is doing the evaluating of those decisions, of which guys to draft, of which guys to bring in, of which guys to... That absolutely matters. I'm not knocking that. I'm not... Yes. But I'm just saying, like, I don't really trust the Titans hierarchy. And so if I know you can get in position to where you can get Travis Hunter, I want you in position to where you can get Travis Hunter. If Jalen Milroe ends up being the best quarterback in this class, I want you in position to where you can go get Jalen Milroe. And I definitely think that this roster is bad enough that you can pick in the top three. Kaharski said last week, even he knows that there's no way that this team is worse than last year. No, I think they're worse than last year. The quarterback gives the ball to the other team every game. I don't care that they went out and bought two corners, one of whom's always hurt. That does not make a difference to me. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Devontae Adams has demanded a trade. Everybody thinks he's going to the Jets. And yet, I think there's a better team out there for him. And I think they should do it. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025, 1025-106 for the game.
A dramatic day yesterday for the Las Vegas Raiders. Really one that I think has been speculated upon for months and months, but one, just being totally honest, I wasn't sure was ever going to be a reality. Here's my understanding of the situation. Davante Adams informed the Raiders on Monday, the day after they won against the Browns in a dramatic win without him, that he preferred to be traded. Now, this has been, as I mentioned, speculated for a long time because we know that there have been several teams interested in trading for Davante Adams. It happened last year around the trade deadline, and it looked like the Raiders were going the wrong way. Happened again this offseason. There's been plenty of them. The Jets, I know everyone talks about, connect the dots with Aaron Rodgers. There have been others, though, and at every moment the Raiders have said, no, no, we are not going to do it. And now, potentially, the door opens. Davante Adams, sources tell me and colleague Mike Garofolo, informs the Raiders that he would prefer to be traded. And my understanding is the Raiders are at least open to this for the right deal. It would likely be expensive. Obviously, you'd have to rework Davante Adams' contract for the 2025 season, but certainly it is conceivable. Now, there are a couple different options here. He could end up staying with the Raiders. I know that's something several members of the organization would like, but there is also a possibility that one of the best receivers we have seen over the course of the last decade heads elsewhere before the trade deadline. Just a major, major shift.
Davante Adams is on the market. And let me say this. I'm kind of turned off by Davante Adams. You know, I felt like Davante Adams got done wrong when he got traded to the Raiders with Josh McDaniels as the coach and Derek Carr was the quarterback, and he and Derek Carr were together in college, and that's why he wanted to go to the Raiders. And so he goes to the Raiders, and when he gets to the Raiders, all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, no, we're getting rid of the quarterback. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I signed up to be with this quarterback. Yeah, well, we don't like him anymore. I didn't think that was fair. McDaniels was a bozo. And so when they fired him last year, I was like, you know, they've done Davante Adams wrong, and so good for them. But they hired the coach that Davante Adams wanted. And Davante Adams is still upset. And Davante Adams is always throwing a tantrum on the sideline. And Davante Adams, now he's not as aggressive about it like T.O., but it's always something with Davante Adams and his bitching. But he's a very, 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 very good player. So everybody assumes that he's going to go to the Jets because it seems like all of his crying and Aaron Rodgers crying, it's all about those two finding a way to get back together with one another. And it wouldn't surprise me if that ends up being what happens, because Aaron runs the Jets and the Raiders don't want anything to do with Davante anymore. But here's the team that I would circle, and I would say this is the team that needs Davante Adams. Baltimore. And the Raiders said that they would like a second round pick and other compensation for Davante Adams, which is code word for they'll take a second round pick for Davante Adams. They hope to get a second round pick for Davante Adams. Remember the L'Jarius Sneed stuff about, oh yeah, no, the Chiefs, they're willing to keep L'Jarius Sneed. No, they're not. So again, second, third round pick is what you're probably looking at Davante Adams. If I was the Ravens, I'd try to argue a third round pick, but I'd be willing to trade a second round pick for Davante Adams. And I think he'd say yes to the Ravens. Even though he wants to go play with Aaron, I get it. Where would you rather go? The Jets or Baltimore? And here's why I think Baltimore makes the most sense. The Ravens are already all in. Lamar, Roquan Smith, Derrick Henry, Mark Andrews, all their good defensive backs, Justin Madubuike, they're all in their prime. The only one who might not be in their prime on the Ravens is Kyle Hamilton, and Kyle Hamilton, and I guess Zay Flowers, but Kyle Hamilton is already a superstar. We know they're a Super Bowl caliber team. And their biggest inefficiency is when they get into a game where they're behind, Lamar struggles. And their biggest offseason acquisition, Derek, does not help you, as we know. As good as Derek Henry is, as much as I love Derek Henry, as much as some of you regret having pissed on Derrick Henry last year. Oh, he's not the same. Oh, he's not. No, you know Derrick can still play. He doesn't help you come back. Devontae does. The biggest deficiency the Ravens have is that when they get behind with Lamar and their receivers, they're not good enough to come back in a game. It's very difficult for the Ravens down by 10 points to get back in a game. Now ask yourself how many times during the playoffs over the years Tom Brady had to throw his team back into a game. You know the Tuck Rule game? Brady had to throw him back into that game. You remember the 28-3 Super Bowl? Yeah, Tom had to throw him back into that game. Remember the Seattle Super Bowl? Remember against the Ravens that year in the playoffs where they ran those Furkacta plays where they put the lineman on the end of the line and they threw it to Edelman and Edelman. They had to come back in playoff games years they won Super Bowls. Lamar struggles. When you've got Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson and you get a lead, you're unstoppable because you don't know who's getting the ball, and so you can't dedicate all your resources to stop one guy. So they'll beat somebody into submission the same way they beat Dallas into submission. They beat Buffalo into submission. But you're not always going to be up against Kansas City, Buffalo, Houston, and the rest of the contenders in the AFC. Which is where Devontae comes in. Devontae Adams is better than Zay Flowers. He's better than Rashad Bateman. He's better than anything the Ravens have. I think Devontae would be able to contain the crying because he wouldn't be the alpha on that team the way he is with the Raiders. That's Lamar and Derrick Henry. And, I mean, if he goes to the Jets, there's no guarantee you're playing for a Super Bowl. If he goes to the Saints with Derek Carr, there's no real guarantee you're making the playoffs. If you go to the Ravens, you know, hey, it's between us, Kansas City, and Buffalo. Maybe Cincinnati. So I think he ends up with the Jets. But the team that needs Devontae Adams, it's the Ravens. That's the team. Like, I would tell Steve Bisciotti, the owner, because you know the salary cap's fake. I would tell Steve Bisciotti, the owner, do it. Bite the bullet. And trade a second-round pick. It's going to be in the 60s. Trade a second-round pick for Devontae Adams. That's just me. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So this has been the season of me being right. I hate it, but it is true. Between right tackle and Skoronski and the fact that Titans are very good and all of that, I have been right this year. I think it pains a lot of people to say it, but it is true. Coming up next, there's one thing people want to say I got wrong, and I'm not convinced I got it wrong yet. But I think we're starting to get a little bit over our skis in Titan land, and it's time to bring it back to reality. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.